This is the Engines of Our Ingenuity, made possible by the friends of KUHF Houston.
Today, a brief bright moment. The University of Houston's College of Engineering presents this series about the machines that make our civilization run and the people whose ingenuity created them. I first experienced airline luxury in May 2011. I flew from Houston to Qatar to give some talks. Before that, I'd flown only in coach. Now, Qatar Airways took me nonstop over 8,000 miles with fine food, lots of room, a bed to sleep in. It was a surreal experience. You see, I'd dreamt all my life about flying the once famous China Clipper across the ocean. It was my imagined gold standard for luxury in the air. That magic carpet of the air began when Pan American Airlines set out to build a fleet of transoceanic seaplanes in 1931. 3 years later, they put Sikorsky's four-engine Flying Clipper into service. 10 were made. They carried as many as 37 passengers, or 14 with berths, and had roughly a 2,000-mile range. Then the Martin Company entered with a new seaplane. They named it China Clipper. They built two more for Pan Am and one for Russia. They had a 3,200-mile range and gave a similar number of passengers even greater comfort. The one-way China Clipper fare from San Francisco to the Philippines by way of Hawaii, Midway, Wake, and Guam was $700, the equivalent of around $12,000 today. And its 2.5-day journey touched imaginations. Never mind that its first navigator was the same Fred Noonan who later perished with Amelia Earhart. Pan Am liked the name China Clipper, so it became a generic term for all its big flying boats, even though each had its own name. Finally, Boeing made a really fancy China Clipper with a 3,700-mile range. It could carry 36 passengers with sleeping compartments. Boeing made 12 of them. So, what became of that fleet? Out of Pan Am's 25 China Clippers, 6 crashed, a pretty grim record. During World War II, the rest were put into military service, where many more crashed. And as our experience with long-range civilian aircraft was put to use in bombers, we realized something. When an airplane has transoceanic range, the large aerodynamic cross-section of a seaplane only slows it down. The day of globe-trotting seaplanes was done. China Clippers were, in fact, noisy, tiring, and dangerous. They remind us of their namesakes, the Clipper ships, fast and dangerous ships that carried small cargoes. The price of tea was briefly high enough that it paid to carry a small load very fast. But, like the China Clippers, they, too, lasted only a decade. Yet both remain the stuff of dreams, like their cousins, the great dirigibles. Dirigibles also keep playing with our imaginations, doomed as they were by another set of practical limitations. And I think of my luxurious flight to Qatar. While it far outran the comforts of the China Clipper, it was no longer exotic. Still, modern air travel serves us just because the embryonic airlines once gambled on quixotic visions of transoceanic splendor. I'm John Leinhardt at the University of Houston, where we're interested in the way inventive minds work.